taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read, we study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free, and I am so glad you could join me today. You know, today I'm taking kind of a walk down the vaccine side. Well, mostly the vaccine. We're going to talk about the vaccines and masks, but not in the way we've been talking about them a lot lately. I want to take a slightly different look at this. Again, understanding from a constitutional point of view what's going on here and what are we learning from some recent studies and some recent articles. And were our previous assumptions involving constitutionality and whatnot correct, or were they incorrect? And what can we learn from these? I'm going to start off with an interesting article. It's based on a study out of Denmark. And apparently researchers, and I'm not going to try to pronounce their names just because, well, I've got an Alexander Bohr, a Frederick Jorgensen, and a Michael Peterson. They surveyed over 10,000 people in 21 countries, and what they were looking for is how do vaccinated and unvaccinated people treat each other? So they asked them a question. Would they be happy if a hypothetical individual were to marry one of their close relatives? And what they would do is they would randomly assign that person to be fully vaccinated or unvaccinated. Now, what they found was interesting, at least interesting to me, is how the people who have been vaccinated seem much more prejudiced against the unvaccinated than the other way around. For example, they found that vaccinated people were 13 percentage points more likely to be unhappy when presented with an unvaccinated new member to the family as opposed to a vaccinated one. They also found that vaccinated people seem significantly more afraid of being infected by an unvaccinated person than by a vaccinated person. Even with all the data out there that the quote-unquote vaccines don't prevent the spread of the virus. They want to say unvaccinated people, by the contrast, do not exhibit antipathy towards vaccinated people, nor do they think that vaccinated people are incompetent or untrustworthy. They seem to fear getting infected by a vaccinated people slightly less than by unvaccinated people. In other words, if I can sum up some of this, it's like the people who have bought into the vaccine have this opinion that people who are unvaccinated are they're stupid, they're ignorant, they're incompetent, and they don't want to be around them. Whereas people who have decided not to be vaccinated don't hold that same animosity towards those people who have been vaccinated. And one of the things they found that antipathy towards unvaccinated among the vaccinated, the people who were vaccinated that were unhappy with having an unvaccinated person join the family, seemed to be 2.5 times the size of the apathy shown towards Middle Eastern immigrants. But the study found nothing like that among the unvaccinated, which brings me to an interesting thought. Now, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of psychological information and stuff we can deal with the fear-mongering. But what I find interesting is the people who have said, you know what, I'm not prepared to participate in such a human experiment, are more likely to allow people the liberty to live as they see fit, to allow them to speak as they wish, publish as they wish, live at liberty without undue influence. But those who have adopted the vaccine mandate seem much more interested in controlling or at least not dealing with people who disagree with them. They seem, if not, I don't know if I would call it arrogant, but they seem so sure of themselves that not only don't wish to associate, but they actually denigrate people who don't agree with them. In other words, it seems that they are not willing to say, I may vehemently disagree with what you have to say, but be willing to defend it with my life. No, they seem, if you disagree with me, they're more likely to say, you're not allowed. Which brings me to the constitutional question. See, the idea of liberty is being able to live your life without external influence. And of these two groups, it seems one group is much more likely to believe in this idea of liberty for others. The ability of others to live in a way I disagree with. And that's the unvaccinated. It seems the vaccinated, again, this is not all, but the vaccinated seem much more likely to say, no, you're not allowed to live the way you want. There are going to be consequences, and we want to, we don't want your kind here, or at least we denigrate them. We don't think they're up to par. Which tells me a lot about the worldwide psyche. This is not an American study, but it does tell me a bit about the psyche of the world. This idea that this understanding of liberty being more than just I get to do what I want, but allowing other people to do what they want. This appears to be on shaky ground worldwide. This was, again, it was an international study. This is done across 21 different countries. It does not, to me, bode well for freedom, liberty, and rights in the world right now. Now, what else have we learned? Well, there's some more interesting information coming out of the CDC. Those of you who remember back in early 2020, well, it started out with Dr. Fauci saying, there's no reason why anyone should use a mask because you wear a mask. Then everybody was told to wear a mask, and there are mandatory mask signs everywhere. And depending on where you live, people paid attention to them or people ignored them. Now, there was information from the EPA about the effectiveness of different types of masks, including how they're worn. It's amazing how badly some people wear masks, but think it's important that they do. And now we seem to come back full circle. You see, again, back on April 3rd, 2020, the CDC recommended that people wear cloth or surgical masks. And then earlier this year, the CDC admitted that cloth masks are and always have been ineffective. You know, I laugh. I was at a doctor's office, and I'd been there for quite a while, and before anybody realized, I wasn't wearing a mask. I was asked to wear a mask, and I was asked, so I put it on. And I said, you do realize that these things are all but useless. CDC, the EPA says they're only about 40% effective. He goes, well, that's better than nothing. I'm like, do you understand how this works? It means at best, my mask is going to trap 40% of the virus coming out of my mouth if I have it. Your mask is going to maybe catch 40% of that, which still means about half of the virus someone's expelling, you're still breathing in. That doesn't seem to be good statistics. Now, I was called everything from grandma killer to the spawn of Satan for questioning the need for wearing masks. I literally was told, I had someone contact me, said I wanted to kill grandma because I didn't want everybody in the world to wear masks. I said, I'm not a scientist, but I know this much. I know the size of the holes in the masks are an order of magnitude larger than the virus. And as a kindergartner, I figured out that I could put a small peg into a very large hole. But he said that didn't matter. And people were more than willing to infringe on the rights of others because some bureaucrat somewhere said this would help. There were no studies done. There was no control groups, no randomized studies. No, we just, people blindly followed what first Dr. Fauci and then the CDC said. And now we're finding out they were wrong. Now, again, we all are wrong at times. It's not that the CDC got it wrong. I think that's bad enough that the CDC got, I would think scientists would know better, but put that aside for a moment. What does it say about the American people that we are willing to set aside all of our rights, any right to liberty we claim, because a bureaucrat says so? And if the CDC was wrong, where are all the apologies to everyone who was told they were providing misinformation, saying that masks didn't help? All the people that were deplatformed, all the people that had their articles pulled, all of the people that the Biden administration turned into Facebook or Twitter or YouTube and claimed as misinformation, those who pointed out what is now told to be true. What about all the fact checkers? Or all the media that called people names for questioning mask mandates, for pointing out they're unconstitutional, they're illegal? What about all that? I think of a conversation I had with I can call him a young man because he's my daughter's age. And we were talking about rights, and we were talking about mandates and infringements. And he basically said, listen, if it's the right thing to do, what does it matter? Well, here we have the perfect example. We have almost 2 years of CDC guidance that convinced people wearing masks would make them safe. And they were wrong. Now, thankfully, this is a relatively benign virus. It's always been a relatively benign virus. The death rate just has not been there. So the consequences of CDC's error overall will be relatively mild. Overall, in the big scheme of things. But I'm reminded of the man who won a lawsuit and then asked the judge, where do I go to get my reputation back? You see, all of the name-calling, all of the vilification, all the slander against those who question the mask mandate, where do they go to get their reputation back? Where do they go to get their Facebook accounts, their YouTube accounts, their Twitter accounts back? Where do they go to get the fact checks pulled? They don't. Which is why it does matter. There's a reason why we have rights enshrined the way they do. There's a reason why freedom of speech and freedom of the press are held in such high regard in this country. There's a reason why the right to life, liberty, and property are considered so sacrosanct in this country. And it's because when we allow them to be swept aside, there's no way of getting something back. All the content, all the contacts, all the people that may have learned something from me that we're not able to because somebody said, well, the CDC said this is we should wear masks, therefore Paul's a grandma killer. Doesn't mean a thing. Now extend that now into the vaccines. And again, there's more and more evidence that vaccines do not stop these vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, do not stop the spread of the coronavirus. There is further evidence that what effectiveness they have wanes after just a few months. Based on what we were told from the beginning, that this would stop the spread, that we would be able to go back to normal if we took the vaccine has failed utterly and completely. I mean, I've already mentioned, it's not legally a vaccine. At best, you consider it a prophylactic therapeutic. You take it because if you get COVID, for a while, it'll help mitigate the symptoms so you don't hurt too bad. Are we going to find out that people like me, who pointed out that this is not legally a vaccine, that it's an utter failure, that mandates are an infringement on your rights, where do we go to get our reputations back? Now do people begin to understand why I made such a big stink about mandates? Why I have, when I do wear a mask, when I am forced to wear a mask, my mask says mandates are tyranny worn under duress. Those words over an inverted American flag, the international symbol of distress. What happens when we are willing to set aside our rights, or even worse, set aside the rights of others because we're afraid? See, the interesting thing is government doesn't necessarily need to pass a law to take away your rights. They can simply scare you into giving them up all on your own. So now that the CDC has admitted that masks never really worked, well, let's look at some of the recommendations, some of the things that are coming out of the CDC that we can learn from. For example, back at the end of February, the CDC said they were no longer going to require masks on buses or vans operated by public or private school systems. Now, of course, my first reaction is, well, let's see. The CDC doesn't legally exist. The CDC, the United States, has no authority to tell state, much less private school systems, what to do with their property, including their buses. There's just a whole lot of constitutional issues here that, well, seems like almost nobody paid any attention to. But notice the wording from their website. CDC does not require wearing of masks on buses or vans operated by public or private school systems, including early care and educational children's child care programs. Now, okay, they've admitted that masks don't work, so we don't need masks, especially with young children, which have the lowest round, you know, statistically zero chance of dying from this stuff, or at least rounds down to zero. But we still had that in place. We still had a government bureaucracy requiring, ordering around state school systems, private school systems. You see, this is, I've been working on an article about nullification. And don't get too excited. It's going to take a couple weeks before it's ready for to be seen in public. But I realized as I was studying this, the dangers that open up when we start allowing governments to act beyond their scope of authorization in their constitutions, even just a little. Even small openings quickly are expanded to elephantine proportions. What at one time seemed to be just, you know, not that big a deal, suddenly becomes a huge infringement on the rights of the American people. I'm thinking of the camel's nose under the tent analogy, or give them an inch and they'll take a mile. These are all examples. So let me ask you, if the CDC was wrong since 2020, since April of 2020, about the effectiveness of masks, what has happened to all those children that were forced to wear a mask? Think of the images of children on school buses or extended into the schools, the videos of teachers or parents trying to keep masks on small children as they cry and wail because they don't want it. It's uncomfortable. They don't like it. All for nothing. Everyone who said that people who wanted to defend their rights were cruel and evil because they weren't willing to sacrifice for the betterment of everyone, only to find out that that sacrifice was meaningless. It was useless. It was a waste of time. Where do we go to get our reputation back? What I find interesting is even though the CDC says you don't need to wear a mask on a school bus, you do still need to wear a mask for air travel. Just another reason why I refuse commercial air travel. I won't do it. Because the same bureaucracy that says, you know what, masks don't work, but we're going to make you wear them on an airplane. Because you might catch a cold on an airplane, even though the airplanes have all these filters in them and The air is purified. No, it doesn't matter. See, there's no logic. There's no reason behind these decisions other than bureaucratic ones. This is why defending your rights, even when things around us seem horrible, it's why it's so important. You now have the CDC saying useless masks must be worn. And not only will people agree with it, but there are major airlines and law enforcement agencies that will enforce it. Even though it's illegal, even though according to both Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court of the United States, it's void because it's an act contrary to the Constitution. But it'll still be enforced. This is why we have to defend our rights always, not sometimes, not occasionally, not when it feels like, not when you feel like it, not when it doesn't going to cost you very much. Because people are being forced to wear useless masks on airlines because a bureaucracy doesn't want to change its mind. See, there is so much in these few articles. The recognition that because of the media and the propaganda and the nudge from government, that people who have submitted to government experimentation feel superior to others, at least in a greater percentage. Where those who wish to defend their rights and other rights are now looked down upon. From the recognition that those of us who said a mask against an airborne virus is as useful as a screen door on a submarine, that we've been right all along. But you see, too many people let their rights be taken away. And they're still being taken away. Even when the CDC says cloth masks, surgical masks, they're basically useless. What does it say about the American people? What can we learn from the last 2 years? Because I have no reason to believe that after getting away with the despotic tyranny of the last 2 years, they won't do it again. They won't continue to do it. Who are they? They are everybody in a government bureaucracy. Everybody in a government bureaucracy is prone to do this. Not all of them will, but they're prone to it. What does Lord Acton said? Power corrupts, and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. This is what happens when you turn power over to someone else. To a nameless, faceless bureaucrat. It's easy for it to corrupt them. And it's easy for that corruption to grow. So that's why, in the face of all the attacks that so many of us receive for standing up for our rights, for our neighbors' rights, for our family rights, we find out we were doing the right thing. And even though some of the bureaucrats are just figuring that out, we need to recognize that defending rights is always right. It's always the correct thing to do. Because if the government had evidence, true, honest evidence, that the dangers from COVID-19 were worth the risk, they'd have presented it. Instead, they merely said, trust me. And what has that cost the American people? Not just the difficulty of wearing masks, the shutdowns, the lockdowns, the criminal charges. What does that cost the American people? Now I have to head off to a break. Before I do, please head over to constitutionstudy.com. so you can find out everything I'm working here. That article I mentioned about nullification, you'll see it posted there. It'll also be posted on AmericaOutloud.com. But you can find out where I'll be speaking. I'm working on my speaking tour for 2022, so you can find out more and keep up to date there. Again, that's ConstitutionStudy.com. If you would, please check out 917society.org. The numbers, 917society.org. See, if recognizing the importance of protecting rights are critical to a free people, then education is the start. 917 Society is dedicated to putting a copy of the U.S. Constitution in the hands of every eighth grader in the country every year. They do a lot of great work. And if you can support them, either by volunteering or monetarily or just spreading the news, that would be great. So find out more at 917society.org. That's the numbers, 917society.org. Last, please check out healthycell.com. You know, vitamins are important. They can do everything from helping you live a better lifestyle to helping you sleep to help keep you from getting sick. Personally, I will use the Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall. I'll get to the end of the day and I'll have a hard time concentrating. I'm trying to get something done and the mind keeps wandering off somewhere else. Focus and Recall is great. Helps me focus. And unlike energy pills or shots or drinks, it's not loaded with caffeine. It's not loaded with sugar. You don't get a buzz. You don't get a crash. It is a wonderful product and I love using it. And you can too. Go to healthycell.com, try Focus Recall or any of their products. And because you're an America Out Loud listener, you'll get 20% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So again, go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, get your 20% off, let them know that you're an America Out Loud listener, and get a new way of dealing with vitamins. Forget the pills, go with a travel-ready gel. So go to healthycell.com/outloud or use the code OUTLOUD at checkout to get 20% off your first order.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cell's pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's healthycell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. Today, we're asking ourselves the question, what have we learned? What have we learned from the last 2 years, both from a science standpoint, but also from the importance of protecting rights from a constitutional standpoint? The first half of the program, we talked about how there's a bias among the vaccinated to consider themselves superior, or at least act that way. At least that's what a study out of Denmark seems to show. We've also looked at some of the science behind the masks and how the fact that for 2 years the CDC has been wrong, where do we go back to get our reputations? We can't recoup what was lost over these last 2 years. So the only thing we can do is learn from it to avoid doing it again. Now I want to pick up on some of the same concepts, but this time not with the masks, with the vaccines. Because if the masks were the big hang-up in 2020, the vaccines were the hang-up of 2021, and that's going into 2022. Now, if you've already learned that bad information led to bad decisions on the masks, what in computer terms you call garbage in, garbage out, what can we learn about the vaccines? Well, part of it is we have to understand the dishonesty and sometimes outright fraud of what is being told to the American people. For example, back on February 5th, President Biden said, he said, quote, "Here's the deal. Unvaccinated individuals are 97 times more likely to die compared to those who are boosted." Well, that's a lie. In fact, that's a fraud. Because he's using a lie to manipulate you to do something that he wants you to do. Now, how did we get here? Well, the short answer is we allowed bureaucrats to pretend that they are not only scientists, but infallible. We've forgotten that when a person, when a doctor or a scientist takes a job, they can be manipulated by the bureaucracy just as much as anyone else. Then we have to look at there's an old saying, there you have lies, darn lies, and statistics. Well, understanding the statistics are really, really important. Where's the data? How's it created? How's it being used? For example, there's plenty of evidence that the information about deaths among the vaccinated is being intentionally manipulated. Intentionally. That hospitals being told that if a person dies within 2 weeks of receiving a vaccination, that is not a vaccinated death, because you need 2 weeks for the vaccine to fully take effect. Now, I don't know about you, but if you drink and you go out and drive and cause an accident, they don't say, well, it had not been the full 8 hours, so he wasn't fully intoxicated yet, therefore it wasn't a drunk driving incident. It doesn't work that way. There is fraud coming out of the hospitals, coming out of the CDC, coming out of the NIH, coming out of the FDA. So you're being told information that is not accurate, which of course increases the anxiety. It gets reinforced by bureaucrats like Walensky and Fauci, by the president and his press secretary. And that manipulates how people act. I have personal experience with this. I know people who act in, to my mind, crazy ways because they're afraid. See, if you believe President Biden when he says not getting vaccinated makes you 97 times more likely to die, well, you're more likely to take the jab now, aren't you? Even though it's not really a vaccine, even though there's no scientific evidence to support that. And when someone like me says, listen, I'm not willing to be a medical guinea pig based on these false numbers for a disease I have a 99.5% chance of surviving, and I'm called a provider of disinformation, I'm called an anti-vaxxer because I look at this and say it's still under an emergency use authorization. Even the part the vaccine that has been approved, Pfizer, is not made available in the U.S. Even that version still had to go through more testing. There's no way they went through all the testing to get any of this stuff done. Therefore, it's an experimental drug, and by medical ethics, I cannot be forced to participate in a medical experiment. I still have content removed from social media for making that very simple point. I'm the one that's considered the outlier, the scaremonger, but I'm the one that's saying, wait a second, here's the data. Even when that data is coming out of the CDC. Now, CDC has also been talking about they've been hiding data. And not just the CDC, but for example, CDC recently released a report about the effectiveness of the vaccine. Well, at least in adults younger than 65. But you see, the CDC withheld information on those aged 18 to 49. Now, they are considered to be the least likely to benefit from the booster shot. But then why hide the information? Because it doesn't promote the agenda. That's my opinion. So here we are. We have the CDC says the likelihood of children under age 5 of dying from the vaccine statistically rounds to 0. But now they're promoting it in children 5 to 11. And now they're trying to promote it even younger. You had the FDA that wanted between 55 and 75 years to release the data they used to make a decision on these mRNA vaccine, quote-unquote vaccines, in just a matter of months. But they want decades to release that information. That is a conspiracy to defraud. That is a conspiracy to withhold information, to deny informed consent to the American people. Yet very few people seem to be saying anything about it. And I still have doctors that want me to wear a mask, even though the CDC has proved said masks don't work. Even though COVID is not a mortally threatening virus, 99% of those who get COVID survive. The Omicron phase is ending. But where do we go to get our rights back? Where do we go to get access to the truth? See, people say, well, the states and these cities they're relaxing their restrictions because the science has changed. It's not the science has changed. It's the political science that has changed. But we're going to live with the consequences of this rush to medication without good reason. Well, for example, a recent CDC study says that COVID-19 hospitalization rates increased among people who got the quote-unquote vaccine following the emergence of Omicron. See, according to the data that the CDC's released, and data the CDC got from health departments across the country, the case rate for fully vaccinated people rose by more than 1,000% between December 11th, 2021 and January 8th, 2022. Fully vaccinated are people who received the two doses of the Moderna or Pfizer vaccines or a single dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So CDC doesn't count a person who's been fully vaccinated until 14 days have elapsed from the final shot. So they're manipulating the data even then. And the cases of those who've received the booster shot have skyrocketed as well, rising some 2,400% between the same dates, according to the article in the Epoch Times. And they're pointing to actual CDC data. So I've referred to the last 2+ years as a scaredemic, because that's right, that's really what has happened. This hasn't been a pandemic of COVID, because it's not deadly. For the vast majority of people, there's a certain segment of societies that are prone to problems. Those that are who are morbidly obese or have serious health problems or severely aged. but we've been scared into handing over our rights. And now that we're finding out that it all was a scam, it all was a fraud, it was all an abuse, I'm going to ask again, where do we go to get our rights back? Because even though there are some cities and some states that are rolling back some of these restrictions, understand, they are rolling back illegal actions, laws and orders and mandates that were illegal. They violated the supreme law of the land. In many cases, they violated the supreme law of the state. These were illegal actions that they were allowed to get away with. But the problem is, you never get it all back. You never, you know, once that camel's nose is under the tent, you never get it all back. For example, according to Forbes, 21 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico have all implemented some form of a smart health card. It's basically digital vaccine verification. It's the vaccine passports. The little QR codes that say, yep, you've gotten your shot. Now, think about this for a moment. It has now become commonplace in almost half of our states for your medical records to be available to anyone with a flash of your phone. Here you go. There's my medical records. There's my vaccination record. Have I submitted to the medical human experimentation? Have I voluntarily given up my right to myself? 21 states, the D.C. and Puerto Rico. And interestingly enough, guess who are the largest stakeholders in this smart health card system? Microsoft and Salesforce. In other words, your data is being held by Microsoft and Salesforce data clouds. But think of what it's done. We have institutionalized the idea of showing your papers for access. 21 states, the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, have normalized the idea of being required to show your papers in order to gain access. Maybe it's a restaurant. Maybe it's a concert. But the very idea in the United States of America that you have to show papers to go about your daily business, that you can effectively be stopped at a door and be required to show your papers and to have businesses raided by police and fined for not acting like the Gestapo and checking your papers. That's what America has come to. I was talking to someone earlier today, and you realize Australia has basically become a prison colony. You can't go anywhere without showing your papers. You can't go anywhere without proof of vaccination. Canada has become a Timpok dictatorship, where their prime minister gets to decide what is and isn't acceptable ideas, where they will use force against a peaceful demonstration. They will raid your bank account. They will steal your property. They'll steal your fuel if you challenge them. And now you have government saying, show us your papers. You know, I've been a gun owner pretty much my entire life. And the one thing gun owners have been warning about is when the government has a list of everybody with guns, there's nothing that stops them from coming and taking your guns. While not all gun registration has led to confiscations, all confiscations began with a gun registration. And now the American people have just registered themselves with the federal government based on their vaccine status. And all I could think of are those little yellow stars of David that Jews were required to wear. So the people would know, oh, you're that dirty Jew. We get to treat you worse. We don't have to let you in. We don't have to grant you your rights. We can steal from you. We can deny you because you're a dirty Jew. The only difference is now, instead of having to show that you're the dirty one, you have to show that you're not. You're assumed to be Typhoid Mary until you can show that little QR code that says, nope, I submitted myself to this illegal government experiment. And that's been adopted by 21 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. What does that say about freedom and liberty in America today? It says that the sacred fires of liberty are going out. That's not the only consequence. There's more long-term consequences from our unwillingness to defend our rights when they were challenged. For our willingness to be scared and go along rather than standing up and saying, wait a second, you don't have the right to do this. Autopsies. Autopsies are showing, they're confirming vaccine-induced deaths. I talked before in a previous episode about funeral directors and embalmers finding these weird blood clots in people who had vaccinated people who had recently died. Not normal blood clots, weird ones. But there's more. See, there's a medical study entitled Autopsy Histopathological Cardiac Findings in Two Adolescents Following the Second COVID-19 Vaccine Dose. There's a lot in there. But the article is important because it is a detailed study to find definitive conclusions that it was a COVID vaccine shot that were the cause of death in two teenage boys. But Paul, that's two boys. What about all the other ones? What about the tens of thousands of adverse effects, the hundreds of thousands of adverse effects, the tens of thousands of deaths recorded in the CDC's own system? Here we have two teenage boys. They died suddenly and unexpectedly in their sleep in the first week after receiving the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. And you're told it's safe and effective. Two boys that had no previous cardiac symptoms, no complaints of fever, chest pain, palpitations, shortness of breath. Nope, they just suddenly died. But the bureaucrats tell you it's safe and effective. How about another report that says two cases of histologically confirmed myocarditis after COVID-19 mRNA vaccine? One person survived, one person didn't. More cases of myocarditis. How about the death of a 24-year-old New Yorker? After several visits to the emergency room, did not resolve the symptoms. See, he had received the Pfizer vaccine some weeks earlier. He had gotten his shots, and he ended up dying of myocarditis. We've seen reports of otherwise healthy people, professional athletes, suddenly dying of heart complications after being, quote-unquote, vaccinated. And that's just in the last several months. What is going to happen in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? What are the long-term consequences of blindly following our bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., or in our state houses? The point is, people are dying from the vaccine. Whether that's a large number or a small number, whether there are other risk factors or not, there are people dying from the vaccine. And what is the CDC's position? Quote, reports of adverse events to VAERS following vaccination, including deaths, do not necessarily mean that a vaccine caused a health problem. Technically true, but if there is a correlation between the vaccination and the health problem, if there is a strong correlation between the taking of the vaccination and the illness or death, that has always been sufficient cause to suspend or pull a vaccine until COVID. Until COVID, vaccines were pulled with less than 50 reported deaths in VAERS. We have thousands, and yet we blindly go on. Now, there is a lot of bad news, but there still is some good news. And it's kind of it's a little backwards. We'll follow this along. An Israeli scientist from Bar Ilan University and the Galilee Medical Center found a strong connection between vitamin D deficiency and negative COVID-19 outcomes. According to his studies, patients with pre-infection vitamin D deficiency were 14 times more likely to have severe or critical COVID-19 symptoms. This is not about whether or not you get COVID-19. This is about your body's ability to fight it off. I've known for years that vitamin D is an important part of your immune system. I've personally taken vitamin D for many, many years. My wife got me started on it. It's wonderful because I don't get that many colds anymore. I'm rarely out sick. But here you have a doctor that says, you know what, based on his studies, if people with COVID-19, if they were vitamin D deficient, they were 14 times more likely to have a severe or critical outcome. Now, that doesn't sound like good news. That's wonderful news. Because it is easy to get your vitamin D levels up. Now, I would recommend you talk to a doctor. Get a blood test, have them check your vitamin D levels, and then put together a strategy. But basic biology says there are two ways that you can get vitamin D in your system. One is to go out in the sunshine. Think about that for a second. We had cities and states locking down, preventing people from going out when vitamin D levels are critical, apparently critical, to minimizing the impact of getting COVID-19. But they were denying you one of the best natural sources for vitamin D, that is sunshine. But you can also get it in a pill. Or if you take Healthy Cell, you can get it in a gel. If you understand that having sufficient vitamin D in your system will help prevent COVID-19 from being a problem, not whether or not you'll get it, how severe your reactions are. Now, again, I wouldn't recommend going out and swallowing hundreds of thousands of units of vitamin D. That's why I said, go to your doctor, get a blood test, find out what your vitamin D levels are, and then discuss what you can do to get them in the proper range. But what would you rather? Since we already know the science has proven that the vaccines do not stop you from catching COVID. They don't stop you from spreading COVID except for a very, very, very tiny window. But they're now their current claim to fame is they minimize symptoms. Would you rather take an experimental drug or just some sunshine? Would you rather be a human guinea pig or take some vitamin D pills? Think of all the damage that has been done. The illness, the deaths, the traumas to individuals and to their families. Because we were so focused on a magical cure from the government, and we didn't take some very basic steps to naturally maintain our own immune system. So what have we learned? Hopefully we've learned that people in government are just as prone to being wrong as anyone else. You don't get a magic crystal ball. You're not perfect. You're not infallible just because you get a government paycheck. That when people tell you you need to give up your rights because it's a good cause, it is even more important that you stand up and say, no, my rights are worth defending. If you want me to do something, don't take away my rights. Prove to me it's the right thing to do. Show me the facts and then show me the evidence and the science behind those. Let me hear it from different sources. Let experts battle it out in the media. Let's hear it from different sides. Let's get multiple points of view. And then let us make our own decisions and suffer those consequences. That's what it means to be free. That's what liberty is. It is the ability to live your life without external influence. But the responsibility is to pick up the consequences of your decisions. So I think the thing that we've probably learned over the last couple of years is that the American people are sheep. They're slaves. They're serfs to government. They do whatever their masters in Washington, D.C. tell them. That those in state houses and city halls are the same way. They simply do what they're told, and very few people stand up and ask why. But if we want to live free, we must be better than that. I want to remind you that America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio Network. You can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world through our media player or through our apps. They're available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, and now you can listen to the podcast as well. So keep up with the Constitution Study and all of our programs and help secure the blessings of liberty to yourself and to your posterity.
Stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.